time for your week daily look at the NBA and your Charlotte Hornets. It's time for the Hive O'Clock Alarm.
How you doing? Oh, that sounds amazing.
Monday, David. Got a case of the Mondays. So, David.
Oh, hey, Doug. What's up, Doug?
So, I've been watching, I've been catching up on the OJ show, People vs. OJ, American Crime Story.
Sure.
And I'm starting to think OJ did it.
It's not looking great for him at this point, Doug. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how it works out, but he's certainly behind the eight ball.
It's not looking good. All right, you can tell already that we're doing anything to avoid talking about what essentially is the NBA equivalent of a week off for the Charlotte Hornets. Two games this week, both against the Philadelphia 76ers, a home and home. Two games that certainly, David, the Hornets can't afford to lose, being in this tight Eastern Conference playoff race, but both of these games coming up, one Tuesday and one Friday, they both come after 2 days rest, which the Hornets have been a little up and down on this season. So,
yeah, you mentioned that yesterday on our weekly appearance on Good Day Charlotte on Sunday.
I'm telling you, can we give a hand to the makeup crew there? I mean, to make me look like an individual that others can look at safely, I think is a testament to their abilities.
Well, look, you were all upset about a haircut that you got, a haircut experience over the weekend.
The haircut was great. It was the experience. I really look for an experience when I get a haircut. I want to feel, loved. I want to feel like I'm being taken care of. Is that too much to ask? I don't think so.
Well, just from a person who's gotten several haircuts in their lifetime, I think you might need to take you might need to take a step back and say and ask yourself what really is important. Because I'm going to be honest, if I get a good haircut and he or she is rude to me, I might just take that.
You might take
that's just me. I mean, I might just take the good haircut and swallow my pride a little bit. If the haircut looks good, that's really all that matters. In my book, Doug, this is a personal preference.
I have the only meal I will never try is my pride. That's the only food I will never try.
Okay, what we're talking about, Hornets Sixers. Yeah, you mentioned the 2 day off thing, and I mean, it looks like it's a real thing. But hopefully, this will solve that because I mean, we are playing the Sixers, or we're looking at the Hornets playing the Sixers here, and certainly at 9-65, you don't think they're going to pose a great challenge. But hey, I mean, at home, the Sixers have given some really good teams some tough games, including the Warriors, and I'm sure some other ones that I don't know off the top of my head at this point, but. Yeah, I mean, we've seen it before, Doug. The Hornets can't afford to come in and not take any game seriously. And with four games, any combination of Hornets wins, Bulls losses, it's conceivable that these two wins could equal a playoff berth if the Chicago Bulls can help them out a little bit. So everything's important right now.
Yeah, also you've got a really tight situation with the tiebreakers with the Miami Heat. The Heat...
Right.
Would need to lose. Basically, here's the situation. The Hornets and the Heat are tied with their head-to-head series 2-2, so then it goes to division victories, and the Heat are two games ahead of the Hornets in that category, and each team only has two division games remaining in their schedule. So the Heat would need to lose a home-and-home with Orlando April 8th and April 10th. The Hornets would have to win both at Washington and versus Orlando in their season finale just to send the tiebreaker to the conference schedule where Charlotte has an advantage currently. So that's not very...
Slight.
Yeah, it's very slight. So it's not very likely that the Hornets will carry the tiebreaker with the Miami Heat. So they're suddenly in the sixth position looking up at three teams, the Atlanta Hawks, Boston Celtics, and Miami Heat, who all own the tiebreaker, or the Boston currently owns the tiebreaker. There's one more game to play with them as well. So, yeah, I mean, they have to take each game seriously. And I think it all comes down to first quarter intensity and consistency. We saw in the last game against Philadelphia in early March, Philly came out shooting the three ball well, and I believe it was 31-29 something after the first quarter. The Hornets had a slight lead, but they allowed the 76ers to score 29 points. Can't happen. Got to take care of this team early.
Yeah, and it's crazy to look at the standings here and see just one game separating fourth from sixth, the Celtics and the Hornets with the Heat sandwiched in there in the middle. But it feels like a whole lot more because of that tiebreaker and the conference division standings that you mentioned. So hopefully that has clicked in with these guys. Obviously, they're not coming into games looking to go down, but they have got to really concentrate and lock in here, especially when you're trying to build a little momentum towards the playoffs, and especially when you're not in, you're not in yet. I mean, we feel pretty confident with, 3.5 games up, but look, this, the race is not over till it's over. So they've got to come out and play tough. And I think if they do get off to a good start, that just helps, especially against a team like the 76ers who, not a lot to play for those guys right now.
And not to mention they have, after this 76ers break, the next week they have Cleveland and Toronto. So,
you're officially calling this like the All-Star break. This is the Philly break.
Yeah, I mean they certainly need to take advantage and find a resort somewhere and grab a cocktail and get some rest and relaxation, but win these two games because then you've got to.
Do you think they did like fan voting for like players that should play in these two games and then the rest maybe like go home
Tyler Hansbrough? Yeah, they want you want the scrubs. Everyone voted for the scrubs because that means the Hornets are up big in the fourth quarter. Well, tonight on NBA TV you can scout both the Hawks and the Celtics. The Hawks take on the floundering Bulls team, and the Celtics visit the Clippers later tonight. So if you want to get a look at possible playoff matchup teams with the Hornets, take a look tonight on NBA TV. And the Heat also play tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. So the Hornets won't have an opportunity to really move up the standings tonight without playing. But, you certainly want – it's that time of the season to start cheering for their opponents. All right, let's talk a little college basketball. David, our UNC Tar Heels, our alma mater, got the victory in their Elite Eight matchup with the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. They move on to the Final Four. But I want to talk about Bryce Johnson, quite possibly the Tar Heels' best player, or maybe undoubtedly their best player. And there's some whispers, or some not even whispers, just insinuations like, hey, MJ, he's been known to like to bring in the Tar Heels to this Charlotte franchise. Could Bryce Johnson be the next one? What do you think about that, David? How would Bryce Johnson fit in a Charlotte Hornets uniform?
I think he would be a nice fit, Doug, especially when you consider the lack of paint defense, the lack of presence there around the rim. I mean, he's a guy that can get up. There was a great comparison for him made during one of these games. I think Steve Smith made it, actually. He reminds him a lot of Kenyon Martin. And that kind of, I mean, at least to the eye and his offensive game, that's a decent comparison to me. And his athleticism, he is able to get up and challenge a lot of shots. And that's certainly something the Hornets need. But his offensive game, too, I mean, you look at some of these shots he's hitting right now, Doug. I don't know if you've been keeping track of these little turnaround 15-footers, but they're pretty impressive.
Yeah, I want to know if he can turn that into, because I don't know if some of these mid-range pull-up shots that he hit last night where, he pump fake at the three-point line and the Notre Dame defender would go for it and then he'd, pull up around the top of the free throw line. I don't know if those kind of shots will be available in the NBA. So my question for Bryce Johnson is, can he improve as an outside shooter? What gives me hope that he can is that he's improved his free throw shooting from his freshman year when he shot 57% to now as a senior. Yeah. He's shooting 80%. And, a lot of people and a lot of smart people, including Seth Partnow from Nylon Calculus, who we talked to earlier this year when we were scouting the Hornets free agents, said that free throw shooting improvement can be an indicator of you know, general shot improvement. So, yeah. that allows for some hope that Bryce Johnson can develop that, because I think he'll need it, especially early on in his career as he bulks up, which is the other big question. I mean, he's got the, you know, he doesn't have the prototypical forward NBA body yet. He's still got those tiny shoulders. He's still got work to do on his body if he wants to be physical. And you mentioned block shots, and luckily, you know, or fortunately for Bryce, he doesn't really use his physicality to block shots as much as he does his instincts and his timing. So he could still be a good shot blocker in the NBA.
Yeah, I think that's what you would look for him to contribute right away. The strength and his, you know, or his body right now is, well, I mean, gosh, you look at it when he came in as a freshman, he's actually bulked up, which is kind of insane to think about. But yeah, he could still use to put on a couple more pounds. I wonder if he could extend his range out of the 3-point line in the NBA. I mean, I don't recall seeing him take, many, if any.
Yeah, zero, actually.
College. Yeah, yeah. So
in his whole career, he's never taken a 3-pointer.
Wow.
That's going to be, you know, in this league, the way that the NBA is developing, that's going to be a major question mark.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to do that, especially with the way the game's going. It's funny right now. This is just NBADraft.net, Doug. I don't know. Have you taken a look at the mock drafts yet? It's really early.
Well, listen, but, this is my – so, you know, I always do this. I get – I'm like, oh, college basketball. And then I start to research guys, and I get excited for my favorite time of the year, which is NBA draft. Because I love scouting individual players. I'm not huge on watching college basketball teams face off against one another. But I do I do like scouting individual players, and so I've hit up NBADraft.net and you know, Jonathan Givony's site, and I'm starting to get excited for the draft already.
Well, right now they've got him slotted going 13 to Phoenix, and they have Charlotte taking Mr. Denzel Valentine at 21 out of Michigan State, which is interesting. I think there's a lot. I think there's a lot of Draymond Green. Transfer going on with Denzel Valentine right now. Not to disrespect or anything, but I don't know. What do you feel about that pick? If that were to go down like that.
Well, I mean, I'm fine with the pick. I just think that there's so many variables at this point, and I think you look at the two big. I think the Hornets could even look for shooting in this draft because you don't. Well, here's the thing. We've talked about it already. You look at the five big free agency projects that the Hornets will have this season or to keep players out of free agency, and most of them, if not all of them, are shooters, except for Al Jefferson. You know, the Hornets could potentially lose four key pieces to their improved three-point shooting.
Yeah.
And if that happens, you got to go back to the drawing board in free agency and possibly in the draft to reload on shooting. So I don't know. Interesting.
Another guy I've seen being mentioned around the Hornets. Are you ready for this one?
Mm-hmm.
Grayson Allen.
Nope, I'm not ready for that one. Actually, I take it back. I'd like to rescind that.
Oh man, the reaction around Charlotte would be an interesting one for sure. And a guy that I feel like here that Taylor's Arthur mentioned, Diamond Stone, is a big guy from Maryland. If you're looking to maybe replace Al or put another guy in the low post with Al, hey, who knows? Someone maybe to keep an eye on. But yeah, I'm not ready personally to jump into this at this point. There's so much movement to be done. And I know who Ben Simmons is and Brandon Ingram are and Buddy Hield. And Chris Dunn. I know a lot of these guys.
Buddy Hield. I need you to take me through a pronunciation. We'll need to do a segment where you take me through all the pronunciations of the tough names. That'll be fun. riveting.
Everyone will enjoy that.
Riveting radio. Keeping the people awake. All right. Thanks for listening. We'll be back on tomorrow morning, of course, and then tomorrow night for our regular Tuesday hour. It's going to be a good time. Even though, look, we'll get you updated on the rest of the NBA, and we'll talk a little bit of Hornets Sixers. There are some interesting things to talk about. Sam Hinkie on the bubble right now in Philadelphia. That could be an interesting conversation. We could get our man Michael Caskey Blomain on the show to tell us all about it. All right. Until then, folks, all hail the teal and purple.